Because I know that once he feel pretty good, he want to buy me a piece of material, you know, for pretty dress. And she wouldn't allow. She says, you just shut up, I take care of it already, you know, she tell him something like that. Little things like that, you know, I kind of was afraid of her.
What did they tell you your job was going to be while you were living with her?
Well, my job was, you know, that I cook, I wash the clothes, and she didn't bother, she didn't show me how to wash it. Her sister come over, she live in the next street, I call her Tieta Luisa. She come over and she show me what my duties are.
And
it was a big, Tieta Luisa,
yeah,
it was a big, what, I don't know what you call that thing, chipper. You know what you where you soak your clothes?
A big tub?
Big tub, yeah. And that rubbing board.
A scrubbing board, a washboard.
Washboard.
No.
And she showed me how to do it, you know. And it takes me some time, you know, that from the beginning I use my think, my skin.
Yeah,
you know, when you rub it, it was all bloody. I have to wait, you know, for a couple of days to get over again. Then she tried to show me, she says, don't use it like this, go like this little bit, you know, that should go like that more.
She showed you how to use it.
Yeah, and have a clothes under. And my clothes was on the top and my finger was on the board.
So
she was a nice, she was much more nicer than my aunt.
So you had to do all the laundry then?
Yeah.
And what about the cooking? Were you cooking what, just for them or for the whole
No,
food?
I cook. I have to, every morning I went to store to buy this meat to make a soup. Big, big kettle of soup.
Now
for the saloon.
Oh, the saloon.
Yeah. And only in noontime, you know, when the workers come in, they let me go behind the bar, and the end of the bar I was with that big chipper, you know, with the soup.
Uh-huh.
And we had a certain kind of a cups, you know, just for the saloon, and I fill it up whoever wanted.
So they had a lunch crowd for the
free
saloon.
Free.
Oh, free soup.
And bread was free.
I see, free soup and bread.
Yeah.
How could your uncle afford to give out free food like this?
I don't know.
Did he make it up maybe at the end of the day when the men came to drink beer then?
Yeah.
It was a social place where the men got together and kind of unwound them.
Yeah.
So now, did you know how to cook before you came there, or did they teach you that too?
Tieta teach me, and she was very strict. Once, I never forget it, you know. She make a muchnik. You probably don't know what that thing is.
Not really.
It's just make an egg and a flour. With the little swirls, you know, then you throw it in the soup.
Like kluski.
Yeah, something like that. You probably know.
Yeah.
And she tell me only once. And then she didn't come in the morning, nothing. She just ordered it. She says, you make a muchnik today. I says, okay. I started sweat already, you know. So how I'm going to make it, because I forget how she done it. So I make it. And I make it two big swells.
Oh yeah.
And when she come to the to expect it, that's what she got mad. She got real mad. She says, "Tusha pisnebi." She says that this would the would
not
be
good enough
even
dog.
For a dog, you know. And I don't know. I went behind the door and cried a little bit, and that's all.
So you did the laundry and you cooked.
Yeah.
And that pretty much was your whole life then, 7 days a week, huh?
Yeah.
You went to church with them on Sunday.
Yeah.
And was this at St. Lawrence's?
Yeah.
And now this was what, a Slovenian parish at the time?
Yeah. The priest was actually one of them who make it for me to, well, I don't know, they finagled what I'm saying. My marriage wasn't, I don't know that. You know, all these people who come from Europe, you know, they all want to stay with their own nationality. They was very against anybody who tried to mix them up. So this, sister, that Mary Fabian, she come to Olean, New York, but when she was grown up, you know, time to get married, she come to Cleveland just for that reason, because she want to get a Slovenian husband. And that's the time I met Dad the first time, when this sister got married by us. They had a wedding by us, you know.
You mean in the saloon?
Yeah, in the saloon.
The celebration?
Yeah.
The party.
And Dad came for the wedding because it was his sister?
And Dad come for the wedding, yeah, because
it was his sister. Because Mrs. Stebbion was his sister.
So he didn't come to the saloon every day. That's not how you met him.
No, no.
Okay. You met him because of the wedding reception.
Yeah. He was in New York,
yeah,
right?
And I didn't like him.
Where was Dad living at the time when he came to this wedding?
And all in New York.
In New York? And
yeah.
What was he doing there?
He was a foreman in a leather factory.
Do you know where in New York?
Yeah, only in New York.
Only in New York.
Only in New York.
And were there Slovenians living there that he stayed
yeah,
there?
Yeah, well, his aunt, you know, like a Mary Irman mother, see? Mary Irman is about the same, she's a little younger than Dad. See, Dad was 16 when he come by her mother. And he stayed there and pay board. He was the woman make a living with the boarder. See, because the father never really worked. He says that the dust killing him in a factory. He never want to work in a factory. So he stay home and the woman was working.
So if Dad then, you know, came for a reception, this was the first time you met him, and like you said, you didn't like him. Why didn't you like him?
I didn't like him the way he was dressed.
Well, he had
a real tight suit, you know, like from the store.
Mm-hmm.
So, and all the young men around there, what I know it, what I see it, and my uncle, the same thing, you know, they had one of those baggy stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, clothes?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Tailor-made. See, and Dad has bought it right from the store.
And it didn't fit him.
Didn't fit him. And then he had a button shoes yet. Because I think that he should have a slippers, you know, when he come to the wedding, not with those high shoes. But
so he really looked like he was...
They call him a Ghent. And my girlfriends, you know, they were surprised, you know, when they find out, you know, that I'm going to marry him. She says, you going to marry that agent? She says, I wouldn't even look at him.
How old were you when you first met Dad?
I think I was 16.
So you'd been in this country about 1 year?
Yeah.
Okay, and then like you said, you didn't think he was that great at all.
No.
When was the next time you saw him? This was the first time.
Well, then you see it, you know, Dad was no romantic stuff at all by Dad. I don't know.
How old was he? You were 16, how old was he?
He must have been about 20 that time.
So he was a little older than you?
5 years older.
5 years older.
Yeah. And then that's the time, you know, and I had his brother was my friend, John. He was only about 1 year older than I was.
John was only about
yeah,
a year
and
old.
He stayed with his brother by another saloon upstairs.
And who was the brother upstairs?
Mr. Langan, right?
Frank, yeah.
Yeah.
The oldest brother.
Okay.
See, they all come through this Frank here to Cleveland to get to get acquainted with the Slovenians. See, there was no Slovenian in Olean where they lived. It was just the one family there. So, and when we was kind of, you know, talking after the wedding was by my uncle, and Dad step, you know, to John, you know, and John was friendly. He buy me a mouth organ.
Oh, he bought you a mouth organ?
So we play together, you know, out in the yard. After he come home from work, he had a job. He was but
sounds like John must have thought you were pretty nice.
Yeah, he did. But my uncle didn't say that.
I see.
No, when Dad come.
John was pretty nice, apparently.
Well, when Dad come, and Frank and Dad come to the saloon. I was exactly just like in Europe they used. They had somebody mesheater like.
An arranger, huh?
Yeah, arranger, yeah. And Frank was the one who was arranger for Dad. Dad didn't say nothing. Sometime, you know, when we joke about it, I even tell him, I says, you know what, you didn't ask me yet.
Did Dad tell Frank that he would like to marry
yes,
you, though?
Yes.
Okay, and Frank thought it might be a good idea?
Yes.
And Uncle, then what, they went to your uncle, Mr. Bosnick?
Yeah.
And they said, hey, you know?
Yeah.
Frank would like to marry Francesca Jordan.
Yeah.
And what did your uncle think about this? If he let you get married,
He's the one, John. He told John to never come in and back in a saloon.
Why?
John was keeping up, you know, after Leganka went to Europe. So his husband stay upstairs, you know, by us. And this John come by him too, you know, just to be in Manslovenia. And when Leganka went to Europe with those three kids, Mr. Legan went right across the little board and he stayed with Stavka. Stavka cooked for him. Mrs. Stavis, you know, for them. And John have to move and he moved away from us. But he used to come back and try to treat me like a pup. And once my uncle just tell him, she says, that he should never come back, that he got no chance, you know, with me. He didn't have no money. See, Dad was one of those who had money.
And he had money, what, because he worked in the States or what?
Yeah.
Where did he get the money?
Yeah, because he had $300 to get married.
I see.
So I started pretty good. I had my own bed and my own thing, but that's all I know.
So
I
now
didn't
let
know.
Me ask you this. How old were you when they decided you should be married?
18. They called me that they're going to be old maid if I don't take this one.
Now, in the United States, you were going to be an old maid, but according to you, in Europe, that would not have been true, huh?
No.
In Europe, how old would you have been before you got married?
21.
21. So actually, you were pretty young by your
mother and father's
standards.
Yeah, I know.
So you were only 18, and they said to you, you know, hey, we have Frank here, and he's got $300, and we think this would be a good marriage for you. How did you feel about this?
To tell you the truth, I didn't know nothing. I didn't know it. I didn't want to get married, actually, you know, really, the way I feel inside, because I don't know him. So I actually tell Pietro, you know, I said, why don't you let him, you know, just come by us as a friend?
Yeah. You get to know him?
Yes. I says, I don't like to get married already. She says, well, man, you're going to be old maid then. She says, that's the best what you could get. She says, I'm responsible for you. I want you to marry this man. He says, at least, you know, you're going to have a good start. He got a job in American Steel. He got a $300 to buy furniture. No, I didn't have no leg to stand on. Except I told her, you know, they had a thing, you know, arranged that the time, you know, when they call us from the church, we have to go and visit the friends, you know, my uncle's friends. And I didn't have no top coat. I didn't have no nothing, just a dress. And I don't know really that I didn't freeze over there at that time. So I told her once, you know, in a teasing way. I says, all right, I'll marry Joe if you buy me a coat. And she says, oh yeah, I'll buy you a coat. So they was all ready, you know, it was all arranged before.
Now you said before that the priest over there from the church had something to do with this too?
Yes, that's exactly what it was.
What do you mean?
When they all arranged, you know, Joe was with him, you know, he says, yeah, he want to get married and he want to marry me. And the priest who happened to be in that extra room what they had it over there. And my uncle was there, and Dad's brother and him. And when they called me, the priest called me, and he says, you're going to marry this man, this Funter, whatever he call him? And I says, yes, you know, because I know that I had it already, you know, that I arranged everything that I should. And I wonder, you know, I had enough sense, you know, that I could see that he would be better than any other around. I didn't have nobody else. You know,
what
that
about John? Did you ever think about John?
About John? No, see, John went after when the uncle tell him not to come anymore. he got another girl. So he was our best man, and that girl was my bridesmaid. No, I never think of it. And I don't know nothing either for what. See, that's another thing. I never see nothing myself by us in Europe for any woman that she would be any different like a man. I talked her all life. I never see nothing. Dad was actually the one, you know, who kind of explained to me after when we got married. I didn't know nothing before.
What did he explain?
Everything, you know, that you have to have a baby.
So he explained all that.
I thought that it's going to come from heaven.
The facts of life. I see. So he did the explaining to you.
Yeah.
That must have been quite a job for him to try and explain to you.
Imagine my shock, too.
Yeah, I imagine.
What year were you married then?
1915.
What date?
Monday. What? June 21st.
1915.
Yeah, my father Lowridge.
In St. Lawrence.
Yeah.
In Cleveland, Ohio.
And that's the time when father asked me, she said, well, you're going to marry this guy, this man? I says, yes. Yes, father. And he says, well, you're not sure spot. He says, I should go upstairs, go to bed. And then they was drinking in a saloon. And
raging all.
Yeah.
Where did you first live then after you got married?
In the 80th Street, I had a hall upstairs.
You were renting the upstairs of a home on 80th, huh?
Yeah, 80th.
Off Reunion?
Close to St. Lawrence?
Yeah.
Yeah, and in fact, it was right down the street, right from Union, right?
Yeah.
About 10 or 15 houses?
I think the people's name was Kumar. Who rented, and I think I pay $8 the rent for a whole upstairs. And I was just as foolish as anyone today, or maybe even worse. You know what, I would like to have a carpet. I love to have a carpet with the big flowers on it. And I buy it when, that have to work, I think, for 2 weeks for that carpet, how much I pay for it.
Where did you buy it?
In the store, where I see
May Company or someplace?
And Tieta gave me good bone now.
So you shouldn't have bought it, huh?
No! She says, Kashna putrata! Zakaisya pusto! You know, she was hollering and joking. Why he let me do it, you know? But I just love that carpet.
Was Stanley born there?
No, Stanley was born in 78.
So you moved from 80th to 78?
Yeah.
After how long?
After 2 years.
2 years?
Yeah.
And you were renting on 78?
Stanley was born 1917, October.
On 78th Street?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a midwife.
Uh-huh.
And for Annie, I had a midwife.
Now, where was Annie born?
She was born in Knob's house that time.
So you must have moved then to Maple Heights when?
Yeah, when Stanley was about 6 months old.
In 1917 then?
Yeah, okay. 1917.
And what did you pay for the Stanley Avenue house?
$2,400. And now we buy the plot and cemetery and they charge me $2,400. You see how well I'm doing.
Now, you bought the house on Stanley Avenue because Lagans had already moved to Stanley, right?
Yeah.
And Teta Loiza had, and
well, Teta
Mr.
Loiza
Bosnick, had, right? They were living on Miller, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And who else? I guess there were some other Slovenians there on Stanley?
There was all Slovenian. There was nobody except those who was there already. It was one of the Slavic. By himself or with somebody else to Cleveland for the job, American Steel.
He came to Cleveland because of a job at American Steel.
Yeah.
And what year was that, Mom?
Well, I don't know what year, 1912, that's what he was. He was married and had three children.
Oh, he had three children already?
Yeah, when I come.
Uh-huh. And he was married to Mrs. Lagan, obviously. Yeah.
Her name was Frenedic.
Uh-huh.
And she was from Yugoslavia, but not from the part where her husband from.
What part was she from, do you remember?
More close to Italy.
Close to Trieste.
Close to Trieste.
Yeah, I see.
Yeah, but
he already had three kids then?
1912 when I came.
And they were living upstairs by Uncle Bosnick.
By Uncle Bosnick.
That's right, okay. What year did they move to Maple Heights?
1917.
I see. Just shortly before you did.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So Frank was the oldest, and Mary was the next child back at home?
Yeah.
And when did she leave?
Mary was 14 years old when, and this stepmother who come, you know, there, she tell the father that she don't need Mary home, that she gonna cook herself.
Uh-huh.
And that they should send her away to some other farmer.
To work.
To work. And uh-huh. That's what happened, and she wasn't happy about it, you know.
Yeah.
Losing her mother and then be treated that way. So
yeah.
she write the letter to her aunt, mother's sister, and that was Mrs. Kosice, who lived in Olean, in New York.
Yeah.
And she sent her the passport and everything, that she come by her, and she got a job, and then she worked with them, you know.
In New York?
In New York.
Uh-huh.
And the first money what she could save out of her wages, she sent for that.
I see.
But then he comes in Kanchiche, and he stayed there too, and paid.
Yeah.
He bought with them.
Uh-huh.
And then...
In the meantime, then, Mary must have met Mr. Fabian, right?
Yeah.
In New York?
In the meantime, no, that was all the all three come to Kosice.
Yeah.
Beth sent for Jean. So that was the last one. And father had a new family.
Yeah.
He had three boys there.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So that looks pretty good. But they all come to Cleveland for one reason, because Mrs. Kosice wanted her children to marry among their own nationality.
Slovenian.
So Mary come first, and she got married over here in Cleveland. And then their son, Bob, come here for the same reason. And Joe come right after Mary got married over here. And he got married to me.
Uh-huh.
And then John come here to Cleveland too for the same reason. They all look for each other, you know, those three. But John and Joe was more close. And Frank was always kind of away from these brother and sister.
Uh-huh.
He didn't do nothing for them, or he never spend any money for them.
Yeah. So back home then in Yugoslavia, Dad, father then had his kind of second family, right?
Yeah.
And what happened back there? There were, what, three kids in the second family?
Well,
there
were three boys, and when this...
Do you remember their names?
I know one, I know for only one, Louis was the oldest one.
Louis?
And he was the one who got a farm after the father was his father.
Well, Louis got the farm after Dad's father died, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
And they got the oldest one, all these four ones, they got a letter from the court. You know, they supposed to sign it to him or ask for their share of the farm.
Oh, I see.
Because they was in the papers.
Yeah.
And
so what happened?
They all signed it, but this. My father should be together, you know, with two Indians.
Yeah.
Same thing happened to me. I got the same thing from my grandmother.
Yeah.
I got a paper from some old
from the book.
What year did Dad's father die?
I don't know. I know that he was about 96 years old.
He looked to be 96?
Yeah.
And you didn't go back to
when
Dad?
When I went 1965, no, father wasn't alive, living. But I visited there.
Oh, you didn't go there?
Oh, yeah. I went there.
You went there then when you were staying in...
And you stay, we yeah. stayed there, me and Betty. And
you drove
Lou,
there?
And Louis had the car. So we make a date, you know, one day,
uh-huh.
Louis pick us up, and we drive there to Schulzenberg.
From Zagreb?
And to Dad's house, you know. It was just the way he was telling. There was a brick house, very nice place. I think the house actually the best what they had in that village. Because the father was a shoemaker. And he need, they had a big windows when all those houses over there had a small window.
Oh, yeah.
But he somehow had a big windows, you know, to work.
For the light, huh?
Yeah.
Now,
he was a musician.
The name of the village was called what?
Podgos.
What about Schulzenberg?
Podgos would be in English, but there are very big trees around there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mostly was a Christmas tree.
So Dad?
Whole hill.
Dad's father was a musician, and he also was a shoemaker?
Yeah.
And he also had a farm?
Yeah. So they didn't have a bad living there, you know, that time. He make it in his trade, you know, that shoemaker. He could make you shoe. He actually make it the samples of what kind of a shoes you're going to have.
Yeah. So he had a pretty good business.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And when somebody got married, they hired him to play for the wedding.
He played the accordion?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And
who was living in a house when you went back there in 1965?
Only Louis, the owner was in a TB section in a hospital.
Yeah, because he was pretty elderly by then, huh?
They had two daughters.
And the two daughters were living in the house?
But we didn't make it, we didn't find them, you know, because... When you write with somebody, you know,
yeah.
you can impose.
Yeah.
You know. So I was glad, you know, that we went to see the house.
You saw the house.
The property there and
yeah.
here.
You didn't talk
and
to
I
you.
Met, and I met, oh yeah,
oh,
and
you
I met
to your
his wife.
Yeah.
His wife's name was Paula.
Whose wife?
Louis, that one who owned the property.
The son?
Half-brother.
Yeah, half-brother, okay.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And they was, you know, kind of glad, you know, and happy because I bring him some money.
Uh-huh.
Even the gunk, I think, gave $5 and Tony Legan gave $3 for the,
uh-huh.
you know, I should give it to somebody over
yeah.
there. And I bring some material. And that's what I buy. And then I give her my clothes, you know. I gave her my suit. I had it from America. And my coat to that one.
And they were very glad to get it, huh?
Oh, yeah. They was very glad to get it. And they call us in. And room, I know they had two beds in the living room. Nicely, you know, made, and in one corner was a table and chairs that was all in one big room. And she put a bottle of wine on it, and I kind of miss it because I'm used to it, you know, all the time, in my time, they put the bread on it with the wine.
Yeah.
And this time she bring the cookies and put the cookies on the table.
Cookies and wine, huh?
Cookies and wine.
Uh-huh.
Well, they enjoy it. Louis enjoy it. So did Betty and Tom. I didn't take no money. And that's what happened.
Did you stay overnight there?
No. We stay only maybe about 1 hour. you know, just the
door. Then you drove back to Zagreb?
No, then we passed that house, and we come more open road, and there was another brick house, and there my sister-in-law, yeah, she was married to my older brother. There was a Jordan thing.
Now, this was close by the close same village by, Dad
yeah,
was in?
Close by where the, this Lagan there. And she, my brother married a girl right from that village.
What was the name of the village?
Podgost.
Okay.
Yeah, they all belong to us.
Yeah.
And the main park was Jusenberg, like, you know, post is Jusenberg.
Jusenberg?
Yeah, when you ride there.
Oh, that was the post, yeah. The postal, yeah, the area, I see.
Well, and there was the story, what she says, you know, what happened to her. In 44, I think it was, that how the brother, well, the girl she joined this partisan.
Yeah, the guerrillas against the Germans.
She was 16 or 17 years old, uh-huh. And she go in the woods.
Yeah, with the partisans.
And she joined with this partisan. But the father was against it, and there was two boys, they could get it. But father was against it, they don't let him go to this partisan.
The partisan, yeah.
Because he was a prisoner in Russia in the First World War.
Uh-huh.
And he probably know better than the rest of them, you know, how things work. So she kind of tried to prevent it. And they say that the girl tell the commander over there,
uh-huh,
about the father, and that's why they kill him.
They came to the house and,
yeah,
called him outside,
yeah,
and killed him.
See, they always, over there, you know, before the country fall, they always find somebody who don't have nothing and never had nothing.
Yeah.
And they promised him that they're going to give it to him.
Right. That's
so
communism.
Yes.
Yeah.
So this man was a friend of his. He knew him.
Yeah.
And this woman says that her husband was in bed already. And this man knocked on her door, and she asked him, she says, well, come on in. She says, oh, no. Where is Ignatz? She says, he's in bed already.
Now, Ignatz was Dad's older brother?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I think she remembered that, too. She says that, he says, oh, just put the pants on. You're just going to come out, you know. And when he tied it, says, well, wait a minute, I'll put the shoes on. And he says, no, don't bother with the shoes. You won't need him. He actually don't. But she don't know yet if he know that neighbor friend. What's gonna happen to him?
They took him out into the woods from the house
and killed
him. And he never came back.
Never.
They never found him.
Never
anything?
Found him neither. No. So she says that she cried for a while, you know.
Uh-huh. So did she stay there in the house then?
No, we didn't stay no place, you know, because Louis was the one who was after.
He wanted to go.
Well, then we drive a little further. It was still around Jusenberg, and Louis supposed to visit Angela Perko's brother.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. And we didn't go there either because it was such a bunch of hill. Full of stones.
Bad road, huh?
And in the bottom was a big water. I think it was Kirkland.
Mm-hmm.
So we let Louis go himself to take that gift from Angela Perko. And we was waiting on a hill, you know, for him just to go there, give the gift, and come back. And then I think we went back. Probably we drive to Shintierne, you know.
Yeah.
And over there we stay overnight.
Yeah, okay.
And they all want to have American money.
They wanted the dollars?
Yes.
Even though this was 1965 and times were better over there, weren't they?
Yeah.
But the people still didn't have that much?
Oh, no.
No?
Well, you know, they for the dollar, I don't know how many dollars, how many...
Dinar?
Yeah, dinar.
Yeah.
They get for $1.
Quite a bit.
Well, what was the rate when we were there?
But not in the bank. See, yeah. if you give a check over there to the people,
yeah,
they wasn't too crazy about it, you know. They want to have a paper dollar. And I think probably we got it for $10 over there by that tavern where we stay overnight for everything, for food and for a guest sleep there.
$10 for the pay for both of you?
For all of us.
For food and lodging?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because, you know, and they invite us back, come anytime, yeah.
So the people in Dad's house, the two daughters that were living there, were very friendly.
Nice. And they were very happy because I bring him enough material, you know, that she had the dresses for the girl. But then, you know, I keep in touch after when I come back.
Yeah.
And I send that money there. Sometimes, most of the time, $5, because you never know if they're going to get it. And then I did once, you know, I send it twice and I didn't get nothing back.
They stopped answering you?
Yeah.
So you don't know what happened back there? Mm-hmm.
We understand even now that the mail is sent to you.
Yeah.
When it comes from different places.
Yeah.
And that's why, although we sent Gita a letter which we felt should have arrived in plenty of time, I forgot how many weeks it took, but it's more than likely that the letter was censored.
Yeah.
And
it took like 2 or 3 weeks for a letter to get there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Just is the only one, because I sent her all the time, you know, like for Christmas I send her a letter and I put the money in it. And she never tell me that she never did it. But these people, Jusenberg, well, they had somebody, probably they take it out.
Didn't they write you and tell you Dad's father had died?
What?
Didn't they write you to tell you Dad's father had died?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And that must have been what, in the 60s, huh?
Well, I would say so. Mrs. Lagan was there. That he was still alive.
And what year was she there?
Well, she was there in about 45, 46.
Or after the war, Mrs. Yeah, Lagan went there.
Yeah. Yeah. He was still
alive. He was still alive then, huh?
Yeah.
But I think he was in his 80s then, wasn't he?
And he feels sorry, you know, too, for what happened to Frank. He says that he know it, you know, that he was wrong, but he was so highly temperate.
Was he?
Yeah, he says. But he never lied. Frank never lied. Yeah.
Frank never forgot it, huh?
Yes. And then he was mad, worse yet. I think he write them one nasty letter, the time when he got married. He says that he didn't even wait, you know, that the mother would be cold.
Yeah, I remember you telling
that. And he dragged another woman in the house.
Frank wrote him in?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And father arrived back that time. He said, you shouldn't get married yet, neither. You're too young. And Frank was 21.
Well, when the mother died, the father must have been, what, about 40 or something?
Yeah. Well, about that.
And the stepmother was probably, what, 18, 19, 20, something like that?
No, she was close to his age.
Oh, she was? Oh, I see. Okay.
Well, the story they tell, you know, they said that he's supposed to marry her.
Oh, originally. Oh, I see.
But she didn't have no dowry.
Uh-huh.
No money.
See, that this girl who he married, she had a piece of land. So that one was lost.
Made the right decision.
After 20 years.
He got everything.
And the father was bragging all the time. And your father was bragging all the time.
Yes.
He says,
21 years they chocolate.
Chocolate?
And I don't think so they were chocolate, you know. That meant that she was waiting for him for 21 years.
Well, this stepmother obviously didn't like the first three children that Dad had, and this is why they, again, they left for the United States indirectly. Yeah.
Well, Dad got a licking, I think, a couple times from the father. She didn't let mistreat him or anything, but the father did. Because Dad, you know, was mad at her, and he cooked himself. And I think he made it cornmeal, and they had a lot of butter because they had a cows.
Farm, yeah.
Yeah. And he soaked that thing with the butter that even cat wouldn't want to eat it, she says. And the father shellacked him, you know.
The mother was mad then because Dad had made this mess with the cornmeal?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
unlike you, Dad was never hungry then.
And he could never ask to call her mother.
Well, naturally,
he says
she wasn't.
That he got choked in the neck. When the father tell him, he says, "This is now your mother." And he says he don't want it.
Well, Dad was never hungry though because they had a farm, right?
Yeah, that's right.
But he didn't like the idea of his father marrying another woman and bringing him in the house as his mother.
That's right.
Which you can't really
blame
him.
That's the way it happened, you know, when the things come like that. It's about the same thing now when these people are so careless, you know, but they get a divorce and the children are lost between that.
Yeah.
It wasn't very long ago when I read them. I put the radio on at night sometimes if I don't sleep. And they got some guy there, you know, that the people called. Yeah. And one boy was 19 years old and he called in. He says that he would like the advice. What he could do yet that his parents would come back together.
Mm-hmm.
He was 19. I says, I don't know, I think it's too late. Well, they wasn't divorced very long.
Yeah.
Well, sometime it happened.
Yeah.
And they both mature enough.
Yeah.
Well, our Betty was something like that. It's a sad to say, but that's how she operated. She always threatened. And you know, when you do that, the other party got tired.
How old was she when she met Frank?
Huh?
How old was Betty when she met Frank?
She was little, she wasn't quite 19 yet.
How old was she when she came over from Europe to your place?
11.
Oh, So you really had her then, you raised her from 11 on.
Yeah, but I don't think so. She got spoiled by me. I think she got spoiled before.
You didn't do it.
Before 11.
She was spoiled in Europe?
Well, sure she was spoiled. She was for everything, you know how they do with the, when an orphan little girl is left.
You were spoiled when you were in Europe.
Why, no.
But she was.
She was. I tried to tell her and she got mad.
Now, she stayed with you in Maple Heights?
Yeah.
That's right.
Well, you know, after my mother died, and Betty was left with her grandmother. So I think that was a blessing, really. She should never say it, you know, that she had bad.
Yeah.
Because I know how grandmother take care of the kids.
Grandmother spoiled her.
Yeah. Well, anything bad you want, bad you get. But then they always take advantage of it, even from here, from America. See, when I was here, and they tell me in every letter,